In the 1970s, the film Broadcast News came to the public's attention with its eerily prophetic take on what would happen to television news. The storyline accurately predicted the mess that television journalism would develop into in its obsession with human interest stories, its love of reality television sensationalism, and its lack of interest in serious investigative journalism. The most entertaining part of the film concerns news anchorman Howard Broad, who was facing the sack due to falling ratings. Shortly before his departure from the job he loves, he calmly announces to the public that he's about to commit suicide live to air at some point in the immediate future. Hurriedly pushed into early retirement, he begs for a chance to get in front of the cameras one last time to say goodbye to his public. Given his wish, he turns this last hurrah into a staccato-voiced denunciation of all that is wrong with life in the 1970s. He concludes with the command, "I want you all to get up out of your chairs, go to the window, fling it open and shout out, 'I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.'" That night, all over America, hundreds of thousands of people give vent to their accumulated frustration and psychic rage by doing just that. Recognising a good thing when they see it, the producers give Howard Broad his own show as a prophet of rage, who nightly rants and raves about everything and anything that takes his fancy, until he collapses on the floor in something resembling an epileptic fit. The public love it. In a more contemporary vein, British television produced a series called Grumpy Old Men, so popular a follow-up series called Grumpy Old Women succeeded it. It pivots off the theory that men of about my age are the angriest generation around today. Brought up with the promise of freedom and fulfillment in the 1960s, life hasn't turned out like that at all for them. And so a number of reasonably well-known personalities were given their chance to sound off on a number of highly visible provocation points. These include young people who stick metal studs through their tongues and their noses, compulsive text messaging and use of smartphones, parents who call their spoilt children pretentious names like Jocasta and Tarquin, and overweight young women with bare midriffs. Watching the series on DVD, two horrified moments of recognition came over me. These men were my soul brothers, united in our mutual detestation of many features of contemporary life. Right behind that came the realization that much of what I write about and talk about is on the theme of what is wrong, 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 and all around I see. Religious people have a responsibility to weigh up carefully the general content and tone of their off-duty conversations. Timothy Radcliffe was head of the Dominican Order for quite some years. His leadership role took him to many different parts of the world and involved him in many conversations with a wide variety of Catholic Christians. He recalls having dinner at the home of an old friend who left the priesthood to get married and have a family. Throughout the meal, the host and his wife went on and on about what was wrong with the church. The Pope this, Opus Dei that, Cardinal Ratzinger this, the local bishop that. When dinner was over and Timothy Radcliffe was alone with his host, his old friend sorrowfully noted that none of their children were involved in the life of the church or appeared to take any interest in Christianity. Privately to himself, Radcliffe wondered if part of the reason for the children's disillusion with organized religion was the continual criticism of it that they grew up with. John the Baptist had his moment in the sun when the public couldn't get enough of his remarkable rudeness to many of the respectable people who came to listen to him. But now they've lost interest in him, they are bored and disenchanted with him, and have moved on to the next interesting preacher. And John has finally gone too far in his direct remarks about the local ruler's scandalously immoral marriage. Everybody else thought the same, they were just prudent enough not to say it in public. So now he's awaiting execution in prison, and trying to work out the significance of the one to whom the public have now turned. John doesn't have an ego problem about being supplanted in this way. He never wanted to be centre stage and is okay about stepping back into the shadows. The problem for him is that the message and the methods are so different. The word pictures that Jesus sums up his ministry with are those that speak of mercy, healing, and rejoicing. From time to time, Jesus does have astringent words for erring followers and conceited religious leaders. But always, he leads off on the front foot with gracious words of welcome and of invitation and of good news. And the performance aspect of his ministry is about turning the good news and the gracious words into deeds of healing power and of cleansing deliverance. I've entitled this sermon, Is It Good News? I'm wondering about the content and tone of my off-the-cuff remarks about God and the church, and about how they come across to people who may not know me well, and who see me as a symbol of the Christian faith. I'm hoping that with God's help, I will stop evolving into a grumpy old man who endlessly fulminates on about what is wrong with other people. In this Advent season, I'm going to try to have something positive to say about many of the people who come up in my conversation, and I will endeavour to see the best in people and to give them the benefit of the doubt wherever possible. I want to be realistic about this. I think it's all right to have a sense of irony and a sharply observed sense of the absurd in human behaviour and a comedic capacity to sum up folly in powerful people and in public life. But when offering free and frank remarks about the failings of the church and its key personnel, I will try and make sure I do this behind closed doors with trusted friends so that I do not become a stumbling block and a cause of offence to those whose walk with God might be imperiled by those acid words. And when offering a critique of what concerns me in institutions I care about, I will try to avoid making it personal. There are times when it is appropriate for us to speak truth to power, to have the courage and the directness of John the Baptist, but mostly and mainly it's appropriate to be good news people in our speech and in our actions, conveying as Jesus did in his word pictures, the mercy and the healing and the rejoicing that is at the heart of the kingdom that we are celebrating in this Advent season. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.